December 10th, board meeting to our council meeting, or I apologize.
Start with a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And we will have the roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Pilshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Nay.
Tarulis is absent. Peterson?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Are there any amendments to the agenda?
Is that a Christmas tree?
What?
Is that a Christmas tree?
It is a Christmas tree.
Is that a motion to the agenda?
Yes.
Agenda?
I'd like to...
Observation. Oh, observation. I like that. Okay, that seems very good. Okay, are there any presentations? Bart, what are you doing here, little thing? Down further? Okay. No public hearings. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on. No consent agenda. We have minutes for approval from the regular city council meeting of November 12th and the regular city council meeting of November 26th. Is there a motion to approve?
No.
I heard two. Okay, perfect. That helped. Funkhauser, I think, and Milchewski. Is that correct? Any comments? Oh, Mr. Transier. I apologize, Dan. Any corrections, changes? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next, we have bill payments for approval from the current bill list for $482,776.87 for vendors, $782,151.25 for wire payments, and payroll ending 11/27 of $311,999.36 for a total of $1,576,927.48. Is there a motion? For a second.
Second.
Take one. I heard Milchewski. Who'd you hear second?
Plocher.
Plocher, good. Yeah, it was all at once. Okay. Any questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Mayor's report, we have several items listed, and at least two that are not listed. The first one I'd like to start with is, Lynn, you have some announcements, right? At least one announcement.
Well, I think you can.
Oh, well, okay. I just want to make sure I have this right.
Yes.
We have, coming into Kendall Marketplace, a new building going up for two new buildings. Okay, I don't know which ones we can comment on. Why don't you take over? I don't want to screw anything up here.
The Verizon store that is currently located at 3447 over by the Walgreens is going to be relocating to Kendall Marketplace, and they're going to be building a freestanding, about 1,800 square foot, individual single-use building, and they have actually applied for their building permit. It's their desire to start construction in the spring and be open later in the summer of 2020. And then right next door to that spot, in the next lot out front of the marketplace, is going to be a Smoothie King. That is going to be a 1,200 square foot freestanding with a drive up. Smoothie King is a unique concept. You should all visit their website. It's actually a meal replacement. So they've got smoothies for people that are trying to be healthy, for people that are trying to be keto, the people that are trying to lose weight. So they're going to be as well breaking ground in the spring and opening in the summer. And that is actually a franchise, and it's owned by Jonas Hagos, who is a Yorkville resident, who is the gentleman that is the owner of the Arby's in Yorkville. So, two exciting new additions and first-time outlets.
That's awesome. I think that's exciting. I know there's a couple things that are exciting about that, is get some activity there in that SSA. It'll help split that amongst more users, which will be excellent. It'll drive more business. And a couple things that help is obviously the Route 34 getting done. That just opened up, and now here we are, not even 2 weeks later, we've got new businesses. And the other thing that really helped is I saw Lynn, and I know I've told you this before, but when we were out there at that shopping center conference, and I really thought, there's no reason I need to go, and I know I sound like a broken record. I went out there, and she was just like, I'm telling you, she was like those high school kids setting people up, and she worked at Smoothie King. She worked and worked it. So a lot of this came from that conference out there. And by the way, their smoothies, they are out there, they are good too. I think Bart and I had more than one. So, excellent. Anyway, so that's good news. That's exciting. Thank you, Lynn. Now, the other thing, I was able to speak to most of you about this. This is more of a high-level discussion, but I want to throw this out there and just see what kind of, you know, conversation we have. So when Mr. Jensen was hired as police chief, I told him, I said, we're not going to have a $30 million building like they have in Oswego, and I keep reminding him of that, lest he forgets. And he hasn't. But I said, let's challenge ourselves. Let's throw spitballs at the wall, as I say. And for every idea we have, we know they're not all going to stick. But one idea that we had, and we thought, let's throw it out there and see what happens, was do we consider taking the police department? We know we're going to need more space in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it's going to be. And do we talk to the sheriff's office and see if there's a willingness to do shared space at the public safety center where the sheriff is housed? So we sat down with Sheriff Baird. Who else was there? Scott Greider, Scott Keppel, those are county guys, and then Bart and Jim and myself, and we just threw out the idea of, hey, what do you think of potentially building another wing and sharing some space together? And it was pretty well received. Now, they had to talk to their board, they're going to talk to their board, and we didn't have any specific details, we don't have a specific proposal, but what we thought is if people are willing to at least explore that, we'd talk further with the county, and if they're willing to explore it, if we're excited about it and they're not, then it doesn't work, but if we're both excited about it or intrigued by it, we'd have some further discussions, and then we might have bring forward in the spring a proposal to look at the space needs of both sides and see if there's something that could work together to save both the county and, of course, the city some tax dollars instead of us building something for $6 million and then for $6 million, maybe it's four each, or maybe instead of 10 and 10, it's 8 each. I don't know what it is. But we might be able to share training rooms, you know, possibly a boardroom, maybe locker rooms. There's all kinds of things we could talk about, and I don't have the specifics. But I talked to most of you ahead of time, and I just want to throw it out and see what comments people have one way or the other. And if you're all saying, hey, we want nothing to do with this, that's fine. But at least give me some direction. You don't have to have specific comments today, but if you do, that's fine. I figured I'd give you, you know, 30 days or so to give me some comments. But if anyone has any thoughts today, I'm open to hearing them.
No, like I said on the phone, any type of exploration of finding ways to work smarter, not harder, spend less, any type of, you know, purchasing cliche that you can throw out there. I like the idea of not going it alone. That's why I think the water study is a little bit, or the water plan that we have for Oswego, Montgomery, and Yorkville is a better move than assuming that you have to do things on your own. So however the conversation moves from, you know, concept to actual execution, I'm excited. I know there are professionals out there that can kind of put those things on paper for you without having to say, well, what are we going to share? I'm sure it's been done before, and that's the type of stuff that we should be exploring to make sure that we have the facilities that we need, but we're not overpaying for them because it has to remain independent. Well, they're seated here, as are we, and we both kind of provide the same service, but albeit, you know, different angles. So I think while we have the partnership that we do right now, at least personally, it does make sense to see if we can extend that into the professional sense to save, you know, the rest of us some cash. So for sure, good idea.
Other comments, questions, thoughts? Dan?
Are we able to determine whether or not there are other counties, municipalities that share law enforcement buildings in the state? I know we talked about it, but
we did, and I didn't follow up with a specific phone call, but I know the sheriff told us at that meeting that he's aware of at least one county in Miss Valley, and I don't know which one it was.
Right. I don't think he said in the meeting.
So, and just to be clear, I'm sorry, one moment. Just to be clear, this is not looking to replace the Yorkville Police Department with the Sheriff's Office. We'd still have our own police department staff. We'd still have our own chief. This should just be, you know, are there facilities and things we could do together to be more efficient? Chris, I saw your hand.
Anytime we can look at something that's going to help us with our facilities and what we can do, I think this is a great opportunity as a subset to the master facilities that we have already approved, but not authorized. I think this could be rolled into that as part of that you're talking about, the facilities, the space needs possibly for that. I think this could work very well with that program in terms of actually trying to find out what we need. We have some facilities right now that we don't know what we need, what we can do with them. This might be a great opportunity to roll those two together to save some money on that project, as well as looking into this. I don't want to just jump into this one and do a study here when we have other facilities we need to consider as well. I think we could possibly tie that in with a slight change of scope on that, that program, and then still assess our existing facilities, what we need for all of our projects, as well as the police department. And if it helps the sheriff's office in doing it, that's a good opportunity.
Other comments, questions? Okay. Well, again, I didn't expect any of you to have or specifically to have comments tonight. So if you have something next few weeks, next month, please bring feedback. It's something we want to talk about here at a high level, because the last thing I want to do is go and marching in a direction and something that this scope of this project, because this would be a big project, and find out none of you are in favor of it. That just would be bad on my part.
When do you think the county will discuss this on their side?
They told us they'd probably discuss it at the committee of the whole meeting this Thursday.
Okay.
Now, I haven't confirmed that, but that was the discussion we had.
And their conversation, I understand, is going to be almost similar to what we just had. Floating the idea of seeing if anybody has any issues with it before we proceed.
And Ken, if we did this, we'd call it the Buckeye Center.
So, it's all preliminary discussion at the moment, obviously, right? But do we have any idea how much it potentially could save us from building another facility or trying to utilize another facility and retrofit it? Because obviously we've got a lot of things coming up in the future that are high dollar, the deep water aquifers or whatever we're going to look at on the water side, buildings. We have a lot coming up that's going to cost a lot of money. So that's not going to be coming out of the general fund, or that would be coming out of the general fund. So... What? Do you have any idea?
I don't. Honestly, I don't. I'm guessing there'll be some savings, but Jason, I'd be lying to say I have any guesstimate.
I have one more question.
Sure.
When you spoke with Sheriff Beard, did the Sheriff's Office indicate that they were planning on expanding their current facilities? Because it would make more sense, at least in terms of taxpayer from the City of Yorkville and Kendall County, that if the Sheriff has plans to expand the current public safety facilities, and Yorkville wants to be part of that.
So I can tell from my most recent experience as of May, there was no specific plan in the next 2 years to do something. He did indicate, though, there's definitely some needs there. And as I said to several of you, this, if we went down this direction, or whatever direction we go, for a building of this nature, we're looking at a minimum of 4 years from the time we say go. We're going to have to go out and hire an architect, select one, hire one. They're going to come up with a plan. We're going to, beat those things up. Then we're going to go to bid. There's just so many, and then the construction's going to be a couple-year process, realistically. So they don't have specific plans now, but it might be something where they see, hey, we know in the next 5 or 6 years we're going to need to do something. Maybe this jumpstarts that. But I just want to be clear that this is not something we're ready to start now. This is just a discussion, and it's going to be a multi-year discussion. And to the question of, how do you pay for this? That's a great question. One thing I've identified is, and I think 2023, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm putting you on the spot there, so pay attention. So in 2023, we have general fund bonds. Well, we have bonds that are partially funded through the general fund, and the general fund's kicking in about $325,000 a year. So, that would be one stream of funding. Maybe we need more, but that's why, even if we want to do it today, we got to make sure the funding's there. So, but there's a need. He realizes it. This is just a unique opportunity we both feel. So, Jackie.
So, in our planning meeting, I thought it was kind of the consensus that we were going to have council one of the goals was to have that facility study, which I know you're not fond of, but wouldn't that kind of help us if this looks like a goal to go ahead with that facility study so we know exactly what we need so that when we go in there, if we're going to do it, we know exactly what we need to do there? And that was one, isn't that one of the top 10 things on our goals was to
number
have that?
Number 2.
Number 2?
Right.
Was to move ahead with that study and we just saw it as that.
I don't remember specifically the top 10. I thought number 2 was building needs, not specifically a facility study. But to your point, if we do this, this might, you know, we're talking about doing something for public works. We might look at putting those together. But it depends what the county wants to do. If we're going to go this direction, they may not want to join those together. But those are discussions we can have, absolutely. So I'm not telling you no, I'm not telling you yes. I think it's something that we can discuss as we go. But to Mr. Funkhauser's point, again, some kudos here, Chris. We're going to look at the public works, and we're already talking about, we looked at a building last week, it's not going to make sense. Or we're talking about some other ideas. If we go this direction, this, quite frankly, is quicker than I anticipated for the PD. So if we go down this direction, it might make sense to join a couple of those studies together. So, yeah, we'll look at that, absolutely.
Cool. I guess as you go forward, I know we talked a little bit about from our side, I need a referendum or some revenue source. We have to grind his air on stuff. You might want to also see what they're thinking when it comes to their revenue side, because maybe they only are going to want a referendum or something. I don't know that, but it might be something you might want to find out when you talk with them.
Yeah, my guess is Kevin, that'd be part of the discussion from both sides is if we do it, what do we think it's going to cost? How are we going to fund it? That type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then who was next?
Jason. Do you have any current room in any of the county buildings now that we could utilize or no? Or is it just strictly building and wing? Because I thought some of the second floor was empty.
At the courthouse it is.
It's at the courthouse?
Yes. Yeah, at the courthouse, the second floor.
Because obviously we work a lot with the county, so we'd be a lot more efficient, right? But being that close together.
I would think there'd be some efficiencies, and I'm not the expert of that, but I think there would be some, and that's something that would be looked at, but I think the chief and the sheriff would both agree that there'd be some efficiencies. Could we put a dollar amount on those today? Probably not.
Right.
Do you think that there would be any negative feedback from other communities from the city doing the joint venture with the county?
There might be.
Potential subsidizing county tax dollars for a municipal joint venture?
So
that would be my concern is that, you know, you get Oswego, you get Montgomery, or you get Plano, one of them, you know, why can't we do that? Why don't we get the opportunity? And then it becomes a PR issue.
So here's what I'd say to that is, first of all, I'm not worried about the person in Oswego or Newark or Plano thinks about what Yorkville's doing. We're going to do what's right for Yorkville. As far as the other thing is, there's two points there. One is, if those cities have concerns, they want to annex to Yorkville, let us do it. Go right ahead. That's fine. We happen to be in the county seat. They are not. And secondly is, if we can do something that saves the county money, that actually saves them money as well. So there are several, I mean, it's a great question because we've contemplated that, but really it would... Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'll spar with you so we can warm up a little. Other questions or comments? Excellent. Well, I appreciate the feedback. It's good discussion. As I said, when we have projects of this level, I'm not going to go barging down a hall with tunnel vision thinking this is the right way without having discussion, because the last thing I'm going to do is have a big project like this, go one direction, find out for us you have no interest in it at all. It just doesn't make sense. So I appreciate it. And again, if you have any thoughts over the next 30 days or so, bring them on. So, excellent. Thank you very much. Bart, did I have anything else that I didn't have listed?
No, it was just...
Awesome. Now, to the listed items. And of course, I can always add to that list. It's my prerogative. Oh, we have. This is exciting. The meeting schedule for 2020. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
By Milshewski. Is there a second? Transier, did I hear you?
Second,
okay. Is there any discussion? We can just do voice, can't we?
Sure.
Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Thank you, Mr. Transier. Ms. Milshewski. I like that thumbs up. Okay. The Kendall County Transportation Alternatives Plan, or the KCTAP program. We have an application. We'd like to put an application for some monies. I'll take a motion and a second, then we can discuss so people understand. Is there a motion?
Second.
Second by, was it?
Freeders.
It was Freeders, okay. Excellent. Okay, so Bart, do you want to lead this discussion?
Sure.
Please.
We have an open Kendall County TAP grant. We have applied and received a couple TAP grants in the past for Route 47 trails, and for trails. The TAP grant opening has not had any awarded applications in a few years, so like I said, more out of money. And they're looking to award potentially a grant larger than they have in the past. So we have staff that have a couple different options. There is one section of Fox Road sidewalk trail kind of between White Oak and the more traditional farm in downtown. And so we thought for about $130,000 or $140,000 to apply for that. And potentially get up to $50,000 according to the actual application. But in the past, the city has been successful in receiving grants larger than that. So that would be something that, you know, if the price came in higher than that, we might ask them for a little bit of extra money, if that's okay with everybody. But that was the best, you know, most immediate need.
Questions?
Real quick.
Please. Mr. Freeders.
Why, on that stretch of road, why wouldn't we opt for a shared use path as opposed to concrete sidewalk?
They both ends in our concrete sidewalk, so we're looking just limited to existing uses.
And you can't fill in the gap with a shared use path?
Can. I just ended up being about the same price.
Well, it would be more, I think, so this is a higher price because of the topography that's there.
Okay, it's the, okay.
Other questions? Yes, Mr. Funkhauser.
That's what I was going to just get to. Obviously, it's about $34 a square foot. This is a very high cost section. 800 square
foot. When EEI did the estimate, they threw in everything they could to make sure it was covered. This includes between some items like there's some parcels there that are in the older part of
the country. Land acquisition.
Correct.
And we met out if we chose to outsource it. Some of them might be able to be done by in-house crews. So we wanted to just make sure that the outline estimate is there.
The bigger issue is $50,000 comes out of the grant, but $85,000 comes unbudgeted out of the general fund?
Potentially, yeah. And we can have that discussion.
The budget, though, this wouldn't be done until next year. We wouldn't do this in April. My guess is we wouldn't do it in April, let's put it that way.
But, I mean, this is more than our sidewalk program is now.
True.
So this is a pretty good chunk for us to look at for an 800-foot section.
Absolutely it is.
So it's a serious consideration. I mean, it's always good to go for the grants because the money's there, it's going to go somewhere. But this, we end up with an $85,000 price tag here for this connection, which is a needed connection, I will say. But
where's the priority?
Yeah, where's the priority? So, I mean.
So, one thing is, unless I understand this incorrectly, if we're awarded the grant, it does not oblige us
to do work.
Right, is that correct? So we want to.
Not like the state grants we're getting.
No, we're putting in, hopefully we'll get the money. And then, those are fair points, they absolutely are. As I said before, from our goal session, I had a list, and I don't think I have that list with me today. No, I don't. But one of the things I want to do is I want to put some funding towards a sidewalk program, and not just $10,000 a year. It's some real money. This should be a step in that direction.
Yeah, pedestrian traffic was our fourth item. This is a good point. This is something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a goal that we all agreed to. I shouldn't say we all, but it was high on the list. And so this would be a way to offset. Granted, it might not be the most efficient use of dollars if we get it and if we approve it, but it'd still be a way to offset a real expensive portion with money other than ours.
And it connects a subdivision that is not currently connected.
So if we're awarded, when do we have to accept or what would be the timeline?
I think there's general time frames and suggestions in there, but I know in the past the county has been very flexible with us.
Because I want to put it in perspective of our budget.
Yep.
We're going to be going through budget planning.
We would not have to perform the work before our budget.
No. like in terms of accepting that we're going to be having an $85,000 expenditure out of pocket as compared to what we're in budget for. I just want to get an idea, are we going to have that budget process planned for already, or is this going to be something that we're going to have to come back to?
Can we do it in 2021?
Yeah.
Can we push
it? Well, no, we would know it before our budget process.
Correct. Okay. Before co-terminus with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, not necessarily before the process, but before we vote on the budget, we would know.
Right. Yeah, and if you approve the application, I mean, the general budgeting rule that we've had in the past has been to add things like that into the budget under the assumption that we receive it. So we would work that into our proposal.
Other questions? Ms. Moshus?
Something to keep in mind, it is expensive, but the cross-country kids are down there, and that's dangerous. So, you know, that gets them off that road for another section. I mean, it'd be nice if we could just run it all the way to Hoover eventually someday. But, you know, there has already been a person who, several years ago, like seriously, there, you know, while they were running along the road.
Yeah, we had talked about expanding the project too, because I think there's $200,000 plus available from the county, and with nobody having applied for it in the past years, I mean, we could extend it further to probably an undefined point at this time, you know, west. You know, you can run for several hundred feet west and, you know, make it a little bit closer to the river.
So it's
the
same
thing.
So on that.
Joel,
so
can I see your hand?
Yeah, that's what I was just pointing at. I've heard that from some residents in there.
Okay, go ahead. I thought I saw it all
the time. No, that's all right. So on that, the section of the road we're talking about is a city road right now, but it's an access road to a county road.
Yes.
So technically, I believe by state statute, we have the ability for the county to provide assistance for maintenance and road projects through them. So even above and beyond the grant program, is there an opportunity to approach them for continuation of this?
We can always approach them.
And see if they're, willing to look at this. I mean, the county wants to take this road over. Generally speaking, they would like to have access all the way to Fox so that it's a complete road. But would it be something that they'd be willing to maybe help us facilitate further?
I think that's a fantastic point, and that could be part of a conversation we have.
But they have more money sitting there, maybe that's an opportunity.
They could take that road over. And let me ask you this, to that point. This discussion is more than I expected. This is awesome. Maybe you all don't like it, but I love it. So, would anyone here object if we said to the county, just take over Fox Road all the way to Route 47?
What's the downside?
Well, they might throw, you got to take this over. I don't know.
Would they take the baseline road bridge?
No, that they won't.
But there is one other county access road, which is actually Van Emmon.
Right. We've had some conversations along those lines. I just want to know if anyone's opposed to it.
No.
Okay. No. So that could be part of the conversation.
If you would do that, is it part of the road, you know? Does that throw stuff like that off?
It does not, because that's a township road.
Oh.
So that would still be our road off of a county highway.
Okay.
It would not be a
race. Yeah, we have it other places as well, so. Okay, well, good. Gives us some points. Anything else on this? So for now, though, the motion, the second, is to approve this application. And again, we are not committed, if we get it, we're not committed to spending the dollars. I want to make that real clear. So, any other discussion? We'll do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you all. Okay. Next thing is the, thank you very much, the liability insurance and work comp renewal. Is there a motion to authorize entering a one-year insurance agreement with American Alternative Insurance Corp., Glatfelter, how do you pronounce that?
Glatfelter,
sorry, I butchered that one. For property casualty insurance in an amount not to exceed $179,984 and to enter into a one-year insurance agreement with Illinois Public Risk Fund, the IPRF, for work comp insurance not to exceed $186,521 and to authorize entering into a one-year agreement with Alliant Mesero Insurance Services for brokerage services in an amount not to exceed $19,000.
Second.
Who was that? Is that Coke? You can never tell over here. And the second was over here. Hauser. Okay. Questions, comments on this? This is overall about a 6% increase. Who wants to speak? 6% increase overall?
Increase,
yeah.
Primarily driven by workers' comp.
Claims.
Yep.
And then we have more employees too, but most of it's claims driven. We budgeted for, I believe, an 8% increase?
6%.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're right on budget then?
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. I thought we had money for sidewalks, but we don't. Okay. I'm working. Okay, any other questions? Chris.
The only question I have is this thing goes to the committee because of the scheduling here this year. On the statement values, there are maybe a half dozen items that we either do own now, don't own, or there's some issues with the values that are on. How does that, would that have much of an effect on the bottom line? I'm assuming not. I mean, the only large item that's on here is the jail and the downtown, the former rec building that's no longer there.
Yeah, I believe there's a reconciliation process throughout the year,
okay.
Depending on when we sell things. Sometimes it does change the premium. Last year, that we bought two cars, like the meeting after we approved the claim, it cost them $1,000. So that's something that staff picks.
Because we've got that $400,000 jail that's not here, the salt shed is not in the current correct value for the sure. building. The caboose is still on here.
So we have some
items like that are through here that we probably have to have reconciled. So sure. As long as it's not going to have major difference on the bottom line, not going up anyways, I'd be okay with it.
Can we get that clarified? I mean, not now, obviously, but...
I'm sorry.
Can we just get those, Bart, can you work with them to get that clarified?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be tonight's meeting. But...
Yeah, it's very easy to remove off if there are some...
Because some of them probably have an increase because they're new, or...
If we're deleting, we should have a very slight increase. I think that jail in the past, we backed into it. I think it's like $300-$400
a year. Right. Yeah. We're not talking much.
Did you say that thing was on there at $400,000? Honestly, I didn't see that.
Yeah, actually.
Damn, we didn't get enough for that.
And we have $46,000 for air salt shed. We know that's...
Well, that's replacement value, though, right?
Much better building than now.
It would have been the old one.
That was the old one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'd probably come close to Washington.
Yeah, but then we have some
other. Yeah, okay. We'll get that clarified. Those are great questions. Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Flocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you. Thank you. You too. Drive safely.
Good luck, Mike.
I'm making notes, sorry. I'm not ignoring all of you. The next item is cleanup ordinance regarding the codes of ordinances pertaining to unlawful use of cannabis. And I'm going to have Kathy discuss this after we get a motion in a second to make it legit versus Robert's rules. Is that a motion?
He's so moved, I'll say.
Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you very much. That was Transier and Funkhauser. Okay, Kathy, it's all yours.
In our code, prior to our adoption of new rules, regulations, and restrictions on use of cannabis, we had earlier provisions. And the earlier provisions are attached to the copy of the ordinance so that you could see what, in fact, has been deleted. And it all pertains to the illegality of cannabis, and especially to possess more than 10 grams. In addition, we have always had a section in our code specifying the fines. And the only thing we had to do there was change reference to the new code section. That is reference to the ordinance we adopted at the last meeting with the new restrictions. So it's cleanup.
Chris?
Those fines are... determined by us. They're not state mandated.
These fines are determined by us.
They're local fines. And we're good with these fines in terms of how they equate to our other penalties that are within our ordinance?
This was recommended by our chief.
Okay. That's cool. And another one other question we have. We've stripped in an entire line. It's the line in determining intent section based on the location of the paraphernalia. Why would that be stricken?
Because it's intent to use cannabis illegally.
Okay.
And that's why we had to strike it. Because,
it has clarification in terms of how it relates to the state's offices.
So how does one use cannabis illegally?
Well, that's the issue. That's why we struck it. Because that's no longer an indication.
Hang on one time. Let Kathy go first.
Possession of more than 30 grams, by way of example, is contained in the new ordinance. So we took this out from here because we've done a whole new list that conformed to state law as of January 1.
All right, let's get to the side first. I know some of
the comments. I'm going to see you, tell me how this works. I know with alcohol, if you have an open beer or something in your car, that's a container, and you're going to get a ticket or whatever from that. So how will this work with the cannabis? If someone has a pipe in their car or something, you pull them over, is that considered the same thing? Or if they're a container, is the car...
So when they purchase the cannabis, it has to be wrapped in a container. They cannot have open cannabis in the vehicle.
Okay.
That's what you're...
That's kind of what I wonder if it works the same with alcohol.
But you can have your pipe as long as there's nothing in it.
In the pipe, I guess.
All right, were there other questions? I saw a bunch of hands on this side at one time.
I'm clarified, okay. Man.
Okay. Mr. Funkhouse, back to you.
Well, that's where Ken was asking. If you have an open item, how do you know that it's in use or not in use? That's kind of the...
It just cannot be open. State law says you cannot...
So if you put it in a plastic bag while you're...
No. The state law is far more restrictive as
it's
our
ordinance.
That's
what I'm going to get at, is why are we striking this one?
Because it is much stricter. And the strictness is it has to be a container such as that is currently approved for medical cannabis, which is absolutely closed and sealed. I've never seen one. I don't know. I can just go about what was described.
Mr. Peterson?
Is this the same as what the county has? Does the county have the same structure that we have, or has anybody reached out to the county?
I haven't.
The county, we're talking about enforcement of local ordinances. The county has the same restrictions because they apply state law. We're saying we're pretty much the same because we're all taking it from the state. They enforce it under state law. We will be enforcing it here locally, fining here. What they do would be before the Circuit Court of Kendall County. I have no idea if they have minimum fines as we have. I have no idea if they will put people on probation or send them to jail. I don't know. You do?
Mr. Johnson.
So under the ordinance, it looks like you can write an ordinance for possession of cannabis inside the vehicle, and it's obviously not patched correctly. There's also an Illinois vehicle code violation that could go along with that, which would be a state citation. Actually, I believe it's a class E misdemeanor. That to make sure, but there's also an Illinois vehicle code violation that is outside of the ordinance, so to speak, which would go similar to your consumption or possession of open alcohol.
Right.
I think then, for me clarifying what I was asking, so striking this line diverts back to the state code.
Which we have adopted.
Which is then clarifies and remedies this issue that I was trying to get to the bottom of.
Correct.
I'm not sure if I'm understanding what you're saying. We could write the Illinois vehicle code without the ordinance in place, if I'm not sure if I'm understanding.
Yeah, but the whole issue was we're striking the part that says if it's, it's in the proximity. So you come up to a car, there's an item that's open in their proximity, we're striking that. You're able to write a ticket, though, based on state code.
Correct.
So even though we don't have to have it here, we still have the enforcement by state code.
No, we have our own code of ordinances. We have adopted as properly referenced in the second part of this ordinance. We have now referenced 3-14-3.
Yes. Which is the state code that clarifies what you can and can't have legally.
Right, but we've made it locally enforceable. Got it. Okay. Yes, it is a state court. Yes, please.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Excellent. Roll call, please.
Frieders.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Next, we have item 5, Metra Station Options. And Bart has about a 30 to 35 minute presentation on that.
Right.
Or maybe shorter.
I'll start now.
Yes.
We're interested in doing it all via handheld. There's papers on your desk, and you can make some available press. Basically, it's a blow up. So I've directed the memo in a way to kind of eliminate two of the options by recommendation, and then to dive in to the other station options. So the two that we didn't think were the best options for a rural station site are option A, which is basically downtown Bristol, bring your post office, set train, bus, bar, and area. And option C, which is the southwest corner of the BNSF, the tracks around 47. Option A is the most expensive because you have some wetlands there, and additionally, it's kind of in an area that isn't part of Yorkville city limits proper. And option C is part of city limits. It's right on Route 47. There's utilities to it, but there's not a lot of opportunities for adjacent residential and commercial areas. So we thought that those were the two easiest to eliminate, and so that's what we're recommending. On option B and option D, option B is the one way out by Elderly. Those are the pros and cons there very briefly. It is probably the most advantageous for development. There's just a lot of open land there. It's in the Plano School District. There's no utilities to it. And there's a number of other factors associated with it. Option D, adjacent to Wrigley property, the southeast corner of 47 and the BNSF tracks. Has enough room for a station only and parking lot, but then it has lots of adjacent development opportunities to the north across the tracks on Route 47. So we were looking for some feedback. The nuance here is that this is an extension study, so we don't have to necessarily say one or the other is it's all or nothing. We could say we like both of them. We're going to make a decision later. But to the extent that we have a preference now, we can kind of set that in motion with the extension study to start thinking about land acquisition and planning and all these other things. So staff is here. We have questions about either site, but we are looking for some feedback on all four of the options.
Mr. Koch.
So looking at option D, can you also slide the one of the potential storage sites more, I don't know, this one to the other side of 47?
So
since you can't really... You didn't want to use that station.
Correct. So on option B, C, and D, the potential train storage yard would probably be that western one towards El Domain, keeping it far away from residential. What Aaron has seen in Elbert is that rail yards are busy places and they have lots of humming trains all day, so they create some noise. People usually don't like that. So BCD Metro has told us that the western option for the storage yard would be preferable. It's not too far away, and it would be the best option for them. So that eastern option, that kind of overlaps option D for the storage yard, is actually only for option A. So, yeah, so there's a chance that they would recommend that maybe with option C or D, but they said that option, or the western option for the train storage yard is more viable. Just so you have an idea, you're talking about 4 to 8 parallel train tracks, uncovered outdoor, and they're just going to go out there and park basically overnight. So they run sometimes when they're doing maintenance on them, but they're just kind of there kind of in the field.
So, so when we went to the presentation last week, it seems like A is just automatically off the table because of where it would be in the wetlands area over there. But if option D for a station was permissible and yard B was permissible, or option B was permissible for a yard, that would keep running trains, and I don't mean running Zoom, I mean running stationary, away from residences. We have, if you look at Whispering Meadows on here, it looks like the frog wearing with a thermometer in its mouth, just to the southwest of Route 47 and the train tracks right there. We have trains that park basically between where Beecher crosses, or where the trains cross at Beecher, all the way into Bristol, and they idle for days, which means that the 7 or 8 houses that live back there on McMurtry listen to trains all day, which doesn't sound like a big deal if they're not moving, but it's loud, it's a hum. I know one of the residents has had like a brand new baby. She's like, why are there trains? But that would be eliminated because we would have a yard where they would park, I'm assuming. Farther west, right?
Theoretically.
Right.
If they're freight trains now, the freight trains aren't going to go park in the metro.
Yeah. So they might potentially still be doing the same exact thing. Well, I know that that's incredibly annoying. They're not honking horns up in my area, but that running of the train, at least for those 7 or 8 houses on that side. Yeah, I don't think it would, because they're technically not... I don't know. I've been doing a lot of this lately. But knowing that the area north of Wrigley, south of the tracks, is an option, and there's nothing to the north of it, that seems, as far as noise and, like, complete... annoyance of the residences, that would be the best spot. But is it a good decision? Because it says here on this one document, there's only like one something. Yeah, there's 1.9 acres, whereas the other one across the street has 2.71. Is that big of a deal? Because we're only talking about that space for just the train area, not for a residential.
Yeah, stuff. Basically the station platform itself and parking for between 600 and 2,000 cars, depending on, like, you know, immediate info build-up.
Right.
So both of those sites are adequate for that, comfortable, you know, no impacts to wetlands, you know, easy in, easy out, is what they told us. So that's fine. It's just the option C, there's no opportunity to put condos or townhomes or single-family homes in the immediate area.
Okay. So then, all of that being said, I'm still in favor of yard at option B and station at option D. And then as far as the build-out of the train station, so traditional looks kind of like what I would expect. The modern I find quite humorous, in my opinion. And then the green roof is just a hippier version of the humorous version. So I don't really have an opinion on those. As long as they're providing the services that they're supposed to, I don't think that's something that I should be a part of. I'm not an interior or an exterior designer. But those two locations, from the get-go, made the most sense.
So which two for you? I'm sorry.
So for the yard would be B, option B. And then for the station, option D.
D as in dog.
We will refer to that as the Western Storage Yard and option D. And on a second map. And tradition, please.
I'm going to third that. I also want to make sure that people understand, because I've had a lot of people asking, in a perfect world, this being completed is still 13 to 17 years out, right? Because there's so many people out there thinking this is going to be done in the next couple of years, and they're so excited. Like, my kids are going to enjoy this if we're here.
Maybe.
Right? If you have $500 million and you want to invest in the entire project, yes, you can probably get it done in 13 years.
And some sidewalks, too.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's conservative.
Yeah, it's a significantly complex long-term project.
Right.
Over here, Mr. Funkhauser, you've been quiet.
I will say, I do like option D on the southeast corner next to Wrigley. It's nice because it is on 47. The yard or the station would be on a high-profile area. Wrigley does own everything on that southeast corner. They own every bit of land around it. So the issue is we have to have, or Metro would have to do some land taking, then we get into the issue of how does the city access it. It's all private land. And then, so we worked that out, that would be something that's good. The nice thing is, you have land to the north, so if you were to do a DOD, you know, transit-oriented development, you could easily do a tunnel, you can get in there. There's lots of land for high density along a state highway, so it's a good opportunity. But like I said,
the biggest hindrance, I think, is that Wrigley owns all that land around it. They bought that intentionally to offer themselves. So price values are going to go up if anybody wants to do a development around that piece of property. So there is a negative to that, but that's my prime location, I think.
For the yard of the station?
For the station. We're talking the station.
So everyone so far said D for the station.
Yeah. Well, there's some pros and cons to that, but I'm going to...
No, that's fine.
With option B, having it at Elmley, I don't care for having the station all the way at Elmley. I like what our comprehensive plan does by putting the station at Beecher. Still keeps the rail yard from Beecher to Elmley, so it's basically just flipping the yard and the station. That puts that on the extension of our Beecher Road, which is a... For us, that's a major road to be built, but we're also talking 17, 20 years in that time the road could be built. But I think that's a more prime location for Yorkville in terms of what we do, what opportunities we have for a TOD type of developments, meeting our comprehensive plan goals, and having a rail station as well as a rail yard in a prime location. I think that would be my recommendation, is to take option B, flip the yard and the station.
So you're looking at the station at B?
Yes, at Elmley.
Was your not preference?
But flipping the two, having the station on the east side of what they're showing right now.
Would that, it's like station E.
It'd be station E or B1, yeah.
Would that move the station then into the out of the our district and our city limits?
Technically not in the city limits, correct?
Yeah, I don't think either of those sites are within your city limits currently.
It would be immediately adjacent to what we have as city limits, so, because the Rob Roy Creek is our city limit right there. So it would be immediately adjacent to our municipal limits.
Right. But then you don't get tax revenue for parking and all that, right? So you can claim it would get two.
They get two.
So they have a station over here, and they have a station on their other side, too?
No.
Don't they currently have a station that's active or not?
Well, it's this one here, I think.
So Plano is an Amtrak station. They don't have a Metro.
Yeah,
right.
Amtrak's.
Correct.
Small numbers compared to Metro. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then we would have, right adjacent to our property, you know, if you know, maybe the other piece of the Woodbury Meadows becomes parking lot. Maybe they end up doing that, so that's part of it's in the city.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know where the school district boundaries lie there. I don't know if that's maybe an offshoot of your question there. That had been a talked about factor is, you know, none of the tax revenues would go to the Yorkville schools, although right, building a transfer in for development. Theoretically, you're going to have people that probably don't have kids, you know, yet, but there would be some kids from the residential development, so they'd be in the Plano school district.
And that's where I'd like to try to take that statement. Keep it within or as close to Yorkville as we can. So if we flip those two, instead of having the station at Elmley, that brings it closer to the city limits.
You're going to push back the people that are on the south and east side of town because they're going to drive west. You know, they're going to go east.
They can go up to Oswego if Oswego gets one. Or up Orchard.
Orchard. Yeah. You're talking, you go right down 30.
71 to Orchard would be easy.
Instead of going up Elmley, you go up Beecher.
And by then, we'll have the Elmley Road Bridge done too.
But yeah. Then if you're a metro, are you thinking, got three stations that are pretty close to each other. Does that make sense?
That's why they're doing a study. We're all talking about studies tonight. Let's see if they'll pay for the one we want to do, too.
All of the Yorkville station options are within Metro's acceptable station-to-station mileage distance. So the only thing that we hadn't talked about, we didn't put in the memo, but one of the comments made at the Plano Open House was that Plano is interested in maybe not having their station in the downtown, and they were thinking about shifting it east to Eldemain. And I think somebody had thrown out, like, why don't we just share a station with Plano and Yorkville? I mean, theoretically, yes, it could save you $500,000 on the station costs, because we were more responsible for building the station, but it would be less convenient for Yorkville residents. It would be, you know, on the edge of town. And that was another thing that we talked about. It's just, like, the population radius around option C or D for Yorkville. You know, as things get built out, it's going to be much higher for your residents than option B is.
Right. Because B is in our industrial corridor, we'd be taking away industrial land for the station and a massive amount of parking. If we move it further in, that puts it where our comp plan shows for a high density location of residential or
Dan or Jackie?
On the building, if I could, on the building.
You go, please.
The
modern building with the green beret, please.
Joe?
I didn't show Dean where they put it.
What's that?
I didn't show Dean where they put it. They're the ones that are making tons of money off these things. They seem to have got it painted down pretty good. If it was me, they're the ones that get all the commercial properties around and everything, so they're the ones that done all those.
So I just heard you volunteer to call them. What's that?
I'll get a hold of them.
Yeah, hold and ask them.
Okay.
Thank you. That's what I heard. If it were me, well, it is.
Yeah, because
so.
I mean, even in their packet, it says Show Dean Enterprises. They're the ones that put them off. Because they capitalize off the commercial a little bit.
Jackie, do you have any thoughts? Okay. Dan, any thoughts?
I like having it off of 47. I think it would make sense since it's a primary artery, not just for the city of Yorkville, but for other municipalities that might want access or easier access to a train depot. And having the yard further on the town makes more sense too.
So you're kind of on the BD line.
And just because they have all these yard marks doesn't mean there's going to be that many yards, does there?
No, and in fact, if Yorkville's not the end line station, there won't be a yard at all.
Right.
And so just so everybody's aware, I mean, the end of line decision is not going to be made by Metro, the RTA, any regional planning agencies. They are all looking to the communities in the region to make that decision. So that is a political and community discussion to happen at some point over the next few years based on cost and ridership and all these other things.
So in the sandwich, Plano commitment is on here.
Correct, that sounds.
Either one of them, yes. Jackie.
So if we do say D is the one we're looking at, is that going to hurt Wrigley in any way? Because do they want to have some access for shipping?
Maybe. And that would be part of the planning process. So, I mean, this doesn't lock us into anything. They're going to do some engineering and design work on that location if that's what we choose. But as part of the due diligence, 5 years from now, they may say, you know, Wrigley needs to build, I don't know, more Skittles factories or something. And so maybe it doesn't make sense for us to site station there. We have to do it somewhere else. So that's all part of the discussion.
And then
the
answer to Dan's issue about being off 47, that is a good idea. Because I'm onto the one in Alabama. If there was somebody else in the two apartment to find it, it doesn't give. Like, I went into Alabama and all the guys were guessing where everything was going around. So, yeah, it's a little nice mission, but it is.
Okay, so what? When do we need to have a recommendation, or what is the timeline?
So, public comments are open on Metro's website through January 6th, and they had asked for feedback, you know, soon thereafter. So, you know, within a couple of weeks of that. So I've been saying the end of January is kind of what we need to hit. Again, it is reversible at some point in the future. So it is kind of just a guideline. I mean, based on the feedback about today, I heard three people say that they preferred option D. A couple people said they like the 47 option over the other ones. One to ask to show Dean, and then we've got one that was okay with D, but then Beecher could be an option too. So, I mean, I think what we would then do is go to Metro and say, it's pretty clear that option D seems to be the favorite, but we do like this other option that we've shown in the comp plan. For some reason in the future, if this doesn't work out, you know, we might choose between the two at a later date.
Anyone have any objections to that?
No, sir.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate the discussion. And those maps are awesome. Who did those? Oh, Metro did.
And
that's fantastic.
There's also a survey doing all of them on the website.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, that is all for my original mayor's report. I have some stuff later on in the meeting. We'll go to Public Works. Is there any report?
No report.
Awesome. EDC. Jack.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the regulations for mobile vendors and others in your
so. Second. I heard a second by Peterson. Motion. Well, she did.
Oh,
yeah. Come on.
Let me second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you made the second original. Okay, just briefly, give us a brief synopsis, please.
Sure. This is the city clerk section of licensing for mobile food vendors. So in general, we won't have licensing restrictions or licensing and regulation for food trucks on private property unless you have three or more.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
No. Okay. This is good. It eases the restrictions, makes it a little more approachable for food trucks and federal businesses.
Good.
Just to be clear, there is a zoning component that has been split off from this for the next couple of months because that's going to be PDC.
Excellent. Do a roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Number two.
Well, there's no motion. This is an information item. It's the Economic Development Infographic. We will give it to the department if you guys are comfortable making the changes that we suggested. And it's just for an FYI. It's going to be available for, on our website and we can get that.
Excellent.
Any comments or questions?
I think it's awesome because the question I get asked the most is how can we have so many auto parts stores? And if someone wants to come into Yorkville and spend their own money on due diligence, looking for a location, looking at traffic counts, figuring out where all their competition might be, and they decide to spend a few million dollars on a freestanding auto parts store, that is their right to do so. Also, like with the Verizon store, why do we need a new Verizon store? It is their right to do so. So this type of graphic is a great way of explaining to someone who's not listening to you and doesn't read the actual article how things actually work in the real world. But hopefully we'll get some more auto parts stores in Ward 3 because we do know that Ward 3 has the largest amount of taco restaurants in all of Yorkville, which is not an accident.
Taco Tuesday, Monday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah,
Saturday, Sunday. Monday. Thank you.
Mr. Funkhauser?
This is a really good document. It's simple, a lot of information, but it's a vibrant piece. It's just nice to have something that has a bunch of quick, simple answers to questions that are common for sites that we put out there for potential businesses or anybody who wants information quickly. For comparable things.
Good job.
Excellent. Okay, anything else? Awesome. I like that. Okay, Public Safety Committee report. There's nothing. Admin Committee report. Park Board report. Will the Park Board president be out later this evening? Okay. We'll find out.
Mr. Mayor,
I'll check.
Coming back to admin, we are going to cancel the admin committee meeting. So that is.
For next week?
Yeah.
Same with Public Works. That's canceled also.
Public Works is canceled. Admin's canceled.
Does Alderman Peterson know? Is he going to show up?
Yeah.
Well,
then he's
going to
start.
Yeah.
Planning and Zoning Commission. We have an item from the PZC. Number 2019-26 and EDC 2019-89. Ordinance approving the final plat of re-subdivision for Kendall Marketplace Unit 1. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Funkhauser is second by Frieders. Okay. Who wants to explain this just briefly? Chrissy, thank you.
This is about 38-acre parcel in Kendall Marketplace in Marshall Development.
This is just a final plat, correct? Mr. Frieders?
Will there be an auto parts store in the company?
Four times.
All right.
Seven.
Three.
Seven.
Seven
auto parts.
Auto parts.
Other questions or comments?
Go.
Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. City Council report, anyone have anything from City Council? Joel, do you have anything?
I'm going to be I'm going to be on a conference call tomorrow to kind of pick players for the Illinois Suicide Prevention Alliance task force to figure out what their 2020 plan is. So I'm sure it's going to be riveting, but I'm excited to see how we can improve upon what we've already started in the last few years.
Excellent. Thank you. Any others? No? Okay. City clerk report?
No report.
Community and liaison reports?
Oh. Just a reminder, I think it's still on their agenda for Monday at the school board on the 16th to talk about their tax levy.
Are you going to represent us? Good for you. Good for you, thank you.
I think you want to see how many people come there. Yes, up to their level. Which is way more than our.
I am always happy when people are engaged in our meetings, including the author or women.
Where are sidewalks?
Speaking of sidewalks, Mr. Mayor, just kidding.
Thank you. So where was I? Staff report? Do we have anything? So additional business, I have several more items. First of all, being that this is the last meeting of this year,
decade.
And before Christmas. That's a good point, a decade. So, Merry Christmas to everyone. I've really enjoyed this. I don't know how much you have, but I tell you, this has been a hell of a fun few months. So, thank you all. And a Happy New Year. And we will be, it's not official, so don't get all bent out of shape, press. Anyone who wants to join us after the meeting, we're going to Rosati's. It's not going to be an illegal meeting. We're not going to sit there and resolve Metro stuff or anything tonight. But anyway, anyone who wants to join us can. That was item one. Item two. I look around, and I don't see anyone with stitches, but I was told snitches get stitches, and I don't see anyone who got any. So apparently that threat was not followed through on. And I'll explain that later.
I'm confused and intimidated. This is
so the next item is, this is for Tim. Tim, and I told you this, but I'm just going to say it publicly. I have received so many positive comments on that tree. I appreciate it because you and your henchman, Mr. Sleazer, when you told me this tree was available, this would be really good, but we have to make a decision in 2 days, and it's more money than we spent before on a tree, but people will love it, I promise you. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh my God, I get comments all the time. People tell me all the time, they love the tree, they can see it from the bridge, they love it. So I think next year we're going to have like 50 of those trees out there. So thank you. And the final thing is, I got this little, I don't know what you call this, little piece of jewelry, little necklace thing. What would you call it? You're a lady, you'd understand.
A medal.
A medal, okay. And I have no idea who it's from, but it's for Saint Benedict, who's the patron saint, I don't know, it's of monks and poison sufferers. Now, I'm not sure what that means, if it means this is because I have a son named Benedict, or I got to watch that I don't get poisoned in one of my drinks. And there's no alcohol, it's just hot chocolate, or usually tea. But anyway, so whoever provided that for me,
that is not for you. That is for your son. I told you I had that.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. I'm good. You didn't poison this
thing. I had some things. You got two. And, you know, a community or something. I thought, you know, what am I doing?
That's fine. And I don't know the prayer for St. Benedict. I should learn that. I know St. Michael. Okay. So, those are the additional items I have. There is... You have one thing?
What about the stitches and snitches? Though?
Yeah, would you explain?
I will not do it publicly with the press.
You did.
Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you the background to it. Okay, I'll do it if you two promise. Don't play this.
I just want to go.
You just want to go? Was that a motion to adjourn?
Say it after your adjournment.
I'll say it after the adjournment. That's fine. I'll say it after the adjournment. What?
You have citizen comments.
Oh, citizen comments. I was going to skip those. Okay, good. Now, you do want to speak. You've been waiting the whole time? You listen to this meeting for this all. Well, bless you. Thank you. Just wait for the record. State your name, please.
Dawn Reed.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I have some
hands. Okay.
Grand Forks provide significant tax on 5G to ensure proper safety measures are taken to protect our family. So what is 5G? 5G is a new fifth generation millimeter wired technology intended to be used for the Internet of Things, which to most people means the creation of smart cities, smart homes, smart cars, faster phone, and internet service. Major cell phone carriers will employ both low and high band frequencies, pulsing billions of times a second, emitting radiation 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, at close proximity. Researchers, physicists, biologists, and physicians argue there are health, safety, environmental, privacy, security, and energy issues that have not been studied or addressed. The FCC states that 5G is safe, yet the FCC has not stated they currently have. The FCC has also stated they currently have no plans to do any research to ensure its safety. The FCC is protecting us with guidelines that are 20 years out of date. Independent research shows adverse biological effects impacting the skin, eyes, brain, heart, liver, kidney, spleen, blood, and bone marrow when exposed to electromagnetic fields and wireless radiation. Research also shows damage to sperm and human resistance to bacteria. This biological harm was found at or below current U.S. safety guidelines. There's also growing evidence of harmful effects to plants and animal life from 5G as well. Electromagnetic frequencies alter bird navigation and disturb honeybee colonies. There's no denying wireless radiation poses an undeniable risk to our health and environment. It's also alarming that millimeter frequencies have been used by the Department of Defense for crowd control using guns called active denial systems. Data from the Internet of Things will be stored and used by our government, law enforcement, industry, and others to track our every move. This is a violation of privacy laws. The FCC estimates that millions of 5G small cell wireless transmitters will be built in our rights of way, directly in front of our homes, schools, hospitals, and businesses across the country. There could be hundreds of antennas in our community alone, aiming laser-like beams simultaneously to cell phones and other devices. Studies show that property values could drop by up to 20% on homes near cell towers. Who will want to live near these wireless transmitters? Illinois passed the Small Wireless Facilities Act, SB 1451, which is taking control away from local governments and uses federal government control to force installation of 5G into villages, towns, and cities across the state. Our rights to informed consent have been taken away. Cities and states across the country are beginning to recognize that wireless radiation poses serious health risks to public health. In countries around the world where 5G has been installed, people are already reporting burning to skin, loud ringing in the ears, unbearable earaches, insomnia, chest pain, fatigue, lowered immunity such as more frequent colds, illnesses, and fever. The Environmental Health Trust has termed 5G as the next great unknown experiment on our children and the entire human population. In 2018, the National Toxicology Program of the U.S. National Institute of Health concluded there is clear evidence of carcinogenicity when exposed to wireless radiation. Insurance companies refuse to cover cell phone manufacturers for liability regarding health claims. Insurance companies learned their lesson when they paid out massive amounts of money when people got sick from tobacco and asbestos. They know people are going to be harmed from wireless radiation exposure. They're not willing to take the risks, and we shouldn't either. So what can we do to protect and assure the health and safety of our community? Research shows that using wire technology not only safeguards our health, but also our security and our privacy. Wireless is not safe. Cities, schools, hospitals, and the like should use hardwired technology to avoid involuntarily subjecting people to harmful radiation and be exposed to potential security breaches and hacks. We need community members to get involved. We need to contact our state legislatures to let them know we do not approve of being involuntarily subjected to harmful radiation. Recently, Congressman Dan Lipinski wrote the FCC with questions regarding the review of human health effects of radio frequency radiation. State Senator Susie Bluak-Hilton has proposed legislation to create a task force to study the impacts of 5G networks. We need members of this board to contact our legislatures to amend the SB 1451 bill to give power back to local municipalities and to require the FCC to update their outdated regulations. Science links wireless radiation to harmful health effects, and the evidence is growing stronger every day. We urge you to act upon the precautionary principle, which means taking the preventative and anticipatory actions to keep our community safe. The photo I provided speaks volumes. The cell tower in the photo emits low and high bandwidth pulses, sending radiation across the area. A group of high school board band members is standing within meters of it. There are apartments next to this tower, a baseball field, a football field, and three schools. It is irresponsible to place up towers of any kind to close proximity to residents. Concerned community members want to know what your plans are for deploying 5G in your community, and is there currently 5G infrastructure in your
town? Thank you. Thank you for your time. And thanks for waiting. Okay, there's no executive session unless somebody wants one. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed it. Please, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
My name is Kelly Burke, and I am not well-versed in doing this, but I am a concerned citizen, and obviously we need more people to come out of the community to speak this up. Yorkville, I actually live in Sandwich. However, I'm in Yorkville a lot. My son has been at the schools here in Yorkville, too, and Yorkville is an important community to me. And I'm here to just to share some of my basic thoughts as well about the 5G implementation that's coming through the community. On an official level, I honestly don't even know if you as a community have a choice to disapprove or accept it. But I would like to, as a licensed healthcare worker in the state of Illinois for 12 years, I've studied health for 20-some years, and it's important. It's an important thing for each and every one of us to look more into, because it's been proven by many scholars, by many scientists, by many doctors, that there are dangers associated with the 5G health impact on our health. So I just encourage you to look into the scholars and that are writing about it. There's other communities that have banned it. There's other countries that have banned it because there are health risks associated with it. And it's really important for you to look into that, because when it's in your community, you can't avoid it, and that's why I'm here. Because I'm in Yorkville a lot, I drive through all the time, and when I see the 5G towers, I am aware of something that's happening. I've been reading about it for several months now, I think, is when it's really come to the attention of the public that it's come out. And I'm scared, and it's important to look into. There's a quote that I wanted to share. The Federal Communications Commission, they had a representative on February 6th of this year at a Senate Commerce hearing, and he noted that there's been no 5G safety studies that have been conducted or funded by the agency or the telecom industry, and none are planned. So we want to put something in our community and feel confident in it. We need to look into it more, because they haven't. And as I mentioned, different professionals are noting serious concerns and health risks associated with it, and those concerns are simply not being properly addressed, and this is still coming out. So you need to consider why. It's pretty serious. And look into what has happened to the test pilots in other countries where 5G has been put up. It's not coming to mind right now, but London, I think. I know in European countries, it's been initiated at the very beginning, and they've completely wiped out all trees in those communities, lovely communities, wiped out all the trees because the 5G communications have to have clear access for transmitting the signals, and it's just decimated communities. So just look into it more. Each one of you to do that, because you'll all have a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you also for sticking around. So I should ask one more time, is there anyone else? Because I felt like I slighted both of them unintentionally. Okay, now there is no need for executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.